Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Sukkah Daf Tesvav. We begin right on top at the Mishnah. Tikra She'in Aleha Maziva. Yesterday we had a discussion between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda regarding using wide boards, wide planks, as schach. Rabbi Meir says, you can't use them. Gzeiras Tikra. Because although, in this case, these boards are kosher, they grow from the ground, they're not a kli that is makabel tumah, it's just raw material. And you're placing them on your sukkah as a shade provider, l'shem tzel. So technically you're okay, but Gzeiras Tikra tells you avoid using these boards because since they closely resemble roofing boards, construction material, if we allow this to be used as schach, he may confuse things. And he may actually sit in his house under his boards to be mekayim mitzvah sukkah. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's pretty clear, it's pretty obvious. And he's building a sukkah. He won't confuse the sukkah with his house. Don't worry about using wide planks for your sukkah. Today the Mishnah will add another dimension. What about actually sitting under your tikra in your home? The Mishnah will tell us. At times, that's also possible, provided he adapts it, he modifies it for sukkah use. So once again, says the Mishnah, Tikra, you have a roof, a typical house roof, consisting of boards with no cement. This time he has no reinforcement, no tar, no cement, she'ein aleha ma'aziva, just boards without ma'aziva, without cement, which makes it pretty easy to adapt for sukkah use. Says Rashi on top, Tikra she'ein aleha ma'aziva, Stam Tikra, your typical roof, Benasaram Sheish Banabo, consists of boards at least 4 tefachim wide. So we have the boards, but no Ma'aziva, which is Ritzpas Tit. A cement floor, Vedoyim Alibi Mikra, we find a similar term in the Pasuk with Sefer Ezra, Vayaz with Yerushalayim Adhoi Chayma, they reinforced the wall around Yerushalayim. So Vayazu means Mal'ua Mitoicha Ofar, they filled it with earth, Lahachzika Chayma, to reinforce and support the wall. So we have a ceiling without reinforcement, just boards. So there are two potential concerns here. Number one, Tasav Lemina Asud. The roof has already been built to serve as a bias, not for a sukkah. So even though perhaps he's going to redesignate it mentally, but it's there, it's done. Shaloi L'shem Tzel. So he has to address that. He has to somehow revamp it. Reconstruct his roof, l'shem tzel. Number two, the fact that we're dealing with 4 tefach wide boards, that in itself perhaps presents a concern, because perhaps that material is not suitable for sukkah use. So how do we address both these potential concerns? So we have machlekes. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he says, there's a machlekes between Rishamai and Bishilul. So Rabbi Yehuda is presenting it as a machlekes between Rishamai, who say as follows, you have to go up to your roof, loosen those boards, take out the nails, and be mefakpik. Shake them around. A slight shuffle. This way you're redoing it. You're modifying it for the sake of tzel. So although it's a very insignificant act, that is sufficient to address the concern of tase v'lemina asu. He's redoing it. It's now a man-made roof for the sake of tzel sukkah. That's number one. And in addition, v'noitel achas bintayim. He has to remove every other plank and substitute it with schach. So both these things have to be done. It appears that according to Beis Shammai, we have to address two concerns. You have to redo the roof for the sake of tzel. That's the mepakpek. And you have to go ahead and add some schach, replace some boards with schach to perhaps address the Gzeiras Tikra aspect. So it takes on new form and doesn't resemble a typical house roof. The Gemara will go into this in great detail, but it would appear that if Beis Shammai need both processes applied, they're addressing two separate concerns. Ubisil Oimrim, don't worry about the Gzeiras Tikra. You can use 4 tefach wide boards. There's no Gzeiras Tikra. But of course, there's a problem of Tasev Lehman Asi. These boards were positioned for the sake of a house, not for the sake of Sukkah. So how do you address that? You have two options. Any one that you apply is okay. Either you shake the boards up and down, and by doing so, you're remaking it, rebuilding it, so to speak. And it becomes Tasa. Well, you know, till Achaz Ben Time, or alternatively, you can go ahead and replace every other board with Tzchach, and this as well will address the Tasa V'lei Min Asi concern. So although you didn't really do anything to the boards that you left in place, you just replaced every other one, but you sort of redid the entire roof. It took on a new form, a new tzura. It's redone, renovated, and it was done l'shem tzel, l'shem sukkah. There's no longer a concern of tasa l'min asa. So this is Rebbe speaking. B'shami maintain both processes have to be applied, shake them and replace every other one. One or the other. Rabbi Meir Omer, he disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda. He says there's only one method. Noitel achas b'bentayim v'einim b'pakpik. You have to replace every other board. Shaking is insufficient. Says the Gemara, let's try to understand the Mishnah. So let's start from Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, t'machlek is b'shame b'sil. B'shame say both methods. According to b'sil, either one is sufficient. B'shame b'sil, says the Gemara Beis Hillel Shita, we understand. Tamayu Mishim Tasev Lemin Asui. You have to redo the roof, which was placed, which was built as a house roof. So you have to redo it for the sake of Sukkah. So since we're addressing Tasev Lemin Asui, anything you do is sufficient. Imefakvik Avile Masa. If he gives them a shake, that's called a sufficient Masa. Inoitel Achsman Taim Avid Bamasa. Alternatively, if he replaces every other one, that is also a sufficient masa which affects the entire roof. And it's been redone, reconstructed, so to speak, for the sake of sukkah use. So that's understood. Either one is okay. Ela b'shamay, my tamayo. But how do we understand b'shamay? Who seem to require both. Shake every board and replace every other one. Imishim tasev lemin asoy. If we're trying to alleviate the tasev lemin asoy concern, then either method works. Why do you need to do both? Either you shake every board, by doing so you're redoing it, refreshing it, l'shem tzel. Some of Farshim learned that you have to actually remove the nails and shake. So it's a significant mass. Imushom gzeras tikra, perhaps is another concern. Aside from tasev lemin asi, which requires a refreshing, the boards themselves, the boards on their own, are unsuitable material because Gzeras Tikra tells us don't use 4 tefach wide boards. That in itself poses another concern. Says the Gemara, even so, you don't have to do both things. You don't have to shake and replace. Imishum Gzeras Tikra b'noitel achas. Imran time sagi. Skip the shaking. Skip the mafakbe. Go straight to the second method. If b'shamay has an additional concern over Beis Hillel's concern. You see, everybody agrees that there's a concern of Tasev Lemin Asi. That's Pashat. There's no Machlekes. But perhaps Beis Shammai have an additional concern. Gzeras Tikra, which Beis Hillel don't subscribe to. Right? Because remember, this is Rabbi Yehuda speaking. He's presenting this Machlekes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, and he himself holds there's no Gzeras Tikra. So he's following Beis Hillel. La halacha, we follow. Halacha follows Beis Hillel. Whereas Beis Shammai perhaps hold of Gzeras Tikra. And that's why they require something else, something different than Beis Hillel. Even so, says the Gemara, you don't have to apply both methods. You can simply modify that roof by replacing every other one with Tzchach. B'noitel achas mentayim sagi. The Gemara figures it's going to address Gzeras Tikra as well. You know why? Let's go down the line. Tasev Lemin Asi is addressed simply by reconstructing that roof and turning it into a sukkah roof. It's taking on a new form. So even by replacing every other one and leaving the other ones untouched, you've already made your sukkah roof. It's Tasev. And even regarding Gzeras Tikra, the Gemara maintains by demolishing part of that roof and replacing it with tzchach kasher, it no longer appears like a house roof. And there's no gzeiras tikra. It's pretty obvious and evident. Look, he took apart his roof. He modified it. He reconstructed it. So not only can you sit beneath the tzchach kasher that was not placed there, you can sit beneath the entire roof. Because this modification benefits the entire roof. There's no concern of gzeiras tikra, of having it confused with a house roof. So why do we need both methods? Says the Gemara. If you're not happy with being a fakpik, because tassel and asa is only one concern, you have to also address gzeiras tikra where the material is unsuitable. Just replacing the other one with tzchach kasher, that in itself is machshir the entire roof. It no longer resembles a house roof. It sets it apart from a house roof. Says the Gemara, Hachi le'ilam mishum gzeiras tikra. You know, you're right. In addition to tassel and asay, for which pikbuk would be sufficient, we have gzeiras tikra as well. Vachi ge'amri, and all b'shamay are saying as follows. You don't need both methods. One modification is sufficient. But which one? You have to know which one. Afa pishim epakpik, even if he goes and shakes them, that's not enough. Because that might address tasavil min asu. Slight shake, that's like the na'anua we had the other day with the tree which was detached after having already been placed on your sukkah. Na'anua is considered a masa. That addresses tasavil min asu. It's been redone, refreshed for sukkah use. But in addition to that, we have the gzeiras tikra concern, which doesn't allow us to use any boards which might resemble roofing boards. Therefore, say beishamai, you have to also replace every other one, which sort of redoes, refreshes, rebuilds the entire roof, and makes it look different than a house roof. In noitel achas meben time in, if he replaces every other board with tzchach, that's okay, because now he has addressed both concerns, killed two birds with one stone. It was an asiyah for the sake of tzel, and it no longer looks like a house roof. So tassel and asay and gzeiras tikra are both addressed by replacing every other board. So inoit achas mentayim in. If he does that, then it's okay. Iloi. But otherwise, he still has gzeiras tikra in effect. That's all they meant. He must make sure to do the right method to replace every other one. So according to Beis Shammai, we have two concerns. Tassel and asay, for which pikbuk would be sufficient, but in addition we have gzeiras tikra. These boards resemble roofing material. Therefore, they maintain the only method that's effective is replacement. Noitel achas mentayim, which addresses both concerns, refreshes the roof, reconstructs the roof to look as a sukkah roof. Whereas Beis Hillel are only concerned with tassel and asay. They don't hold up gzeiras tikra. Remember, this is Rabbi Yehuda speaking. And he follows Beis Hillel. So he presents Beis Hillel as holding the shita that there's no gzeiras tikra. Therefore, according to Beis Hillel, all we need to address is tassel and asay. And for that, either method that you pick is fine. Either give them a shake, which redoes it, makes it tassel, or replace either one, which is also effective to remove the tassel and asay concern. But even shaking is enough because you can use these boards, even though they're four tefach wide boards. We see it's a sukkah. There's no gzeiras tikra. Okay, that explains the machlokes Beis Shammai, who require replacement, and Beis Hillel, who say either method is fine. If that's the pshat, ema sefa, let's proceed. Rabbi Meir Omer, noitel achas mi ben taim, avalo yifakvik. The only effective method is replacement of every other board. Rabbi Meir, Haini Beis Shammai. Isn't he repeating Beis Shammai Shita? What's the point? Hachik Amar. Indeed, this is what he meant to say. You, Rabbi Yehuda, maintain that there's a machlekes between Beis Shammai, who hold of Gzeiras Tikra, and Beis Hillel, who don't? And of course, the halacha follows Beis Hillel. In which case, you concluded that there's no Gzeiras Tikra? No, I disagree. There was never a machlekes between the two on this topic. Meaning, there is gzeras tikra, even according to Beis Hillel. And therefore, I maintain, the only effective method, according to all shittas, is replacement, which addresses a tasav eliminasi, because you've reconstructed that roof, l'shem tzel, and b, once you've inserted lots of schach there, it appears like a sukkah roof, and it very much does not resemble a house roof. This addresses gzeras tikra as well. Is that the pshat in the Mishnah? Maika mashmon. So what's the point of this Mishnah? This Mishnah is now basically a repetition of the previous Mishnah. Once again, we have Rabbi Yehuda and Ramir discussing Zeres Tikra. It's an exact replica of the previous Mishnah. Maika mashmon, the Ramir is like Zeres Tikra. Ramir holds of Zeres Tikra. Rabbi Yehuda less like Zeres Tikra. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with Zeres Tikra. V'afligi b'chad ha-zimna. They've already discussed this previously. This non, we had an earlier Mishnah, Anaf Yadalat. Mesachachin bin Asarin, the Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you can use boards. Because it's pretty clear that it's for sukkah use. He won't come to sit under his regular house roof. Rabbi Meir Oyser, no, you can't use wide planks, which would resemble roofing material. Because it might lead to a person sitting in his house. So what's the point of repeating the same machlekes? Therefore, says the Gemara, let's reinterpret yesterday's Mishnah. It's not a discussion of Gzeras Tikra. Rather, Amar Abchir ba'Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Reisha, the previous Mishnah, is discussing a different topic. Binasarim Mishupin Askinan. We're speaking about small boards, narrow boards. Not four tefach boards, but they're Mishupin. They've been sanded down, smoothed out, polished. Binasarim Mishupin Askinan. And they appear perhaps like furniture material. The potential concern there is that if he used these, he might actually use furniture. Kalim, a makabal tumma, pasal v'schach. And that's the topic of discussion yesterday. Can we use nisarim mishupin, which appear like furniture material? Rabbi Yehuda says, don't worry about it. Rabbi Yehuda says, you can't. That's one discussion. And today, we have another discussion regarding using four tefach wide planks, unpolished, unsanded, which appear like roofing boards. And according to Rabbi Meir, you can't because he might end up sitting in his house. According to Rabbi Yehuda, no concern. So we're speaking about two separate topics here. It's not a repetition. Says the Gemara, the Rabbi Yehuda, Rav, but according to him, the Omar, we had this the other day. We have these wooden arrow handles. So if they're the male type, they protrude into the tip, so they're not considered a clay kibble. You can use these wooden handles. So bechitzin zucharim ksheira. Bin a cave is, but if they're receptacle, if they're a clay kibble, psula. So one is good, one is not. We don't see that there's a concern. If we allow using the zucharim, you might actually use in a cave, which are kalim. Hachanam here as well. Why would we have a gzera and disallow using these smoothed out boards on account of perhaps using kalim? It doesn't seem that the Gemara is concerned that one might lead to the other. So it's improbable that the Tanoim will be having a discussion regarding this type of gzera. Ela al karchach says the Gemara, you're right. Let's go back. Reisha pligi bezeras tikra. The previous Mishnah is a machlekes regarding wide boards, which may be confused with construction material and may lead him to sit in his house. Ramea says there's a concern. Rabbi Yehuda says there is not. V'seifa pligi b'zeres tikra. Likewise, our Mishnah is addressing the same concern. Zeres tikra, yes or no? V'pligi b'tarati zimnin lovely. If so, why the repetition? Why replicate the same machlekes? Says the more you write, it's not a new machlekes. It's just a conclusion to that discussion. Say for Rabbi Yehuda de Ka'amale Rameir. Now Mishnah Rabbi Yehuda is simply addressing Rameir. And he says like this, Amai Ka'ashus bin Asara, Mishum Gzeres Tikra. Why is it that you don't allow using boards because of Gzeres Tikra? Hai Svara, Lebe Shami Hud Islu. You know who holds of this Svara, this concern? It's Beshami, only Beshami. Ubisilu le Gazri, not Bisilu. I want to follow Bisilu. V'omer Rabbi Meir, the Rabbi Meir responds at the end of our Mishnah, Lo nechelku beshamei Bisilu b'davar zeh, actually not. The way I know it, all agree that xeris tikkur is a concern. And therefore I paskin that wide boards are asur because of xeris tikkur. So indeed, both Mishnahs are just a continuous discussion. So the discussion initiated in the first Mishnah, and here we have a conclusion. It would be the response to Rav Meir, why are you concerned about xeris tikkur? That's b'sham and not b'sil. Right? That's why b'sham say you have to replace every other board, because not only do you have to address tasav lemin asi because it's a house roof, you have to actually reconstruct that roof so it doesn't appear like a house because of xeris tikkur. B'sil say no. You can replace if you choose to. We could just go ahead and simply shake the boards and redo it l'shem tzel. It takes away the tasav lemin asi. Just leave them in place, because wide boards are acceptable. So you see, says Rabbi, you see, Beis Hillel don't hold a gzeres tikkur. And Rabbi Meir responds, no. The only suitable method is replacing every other one, because according to my version of events, even Beis Hillel subscribed to gzeres tikkur. And that's why I follow that shita as well. Says the Gemara, Hanichal Rav. This whole pshat in the Mishnah works according to Rav. See, Rav learned that there is a fundamental machlikas between Rabbi Meir, who says four tefach wide boards resemble roofing material and are pasul for sukkah, whereas Rabbi Yehuda says it's pretty evident this is for the sake of sukkah, sake of tzel. Don't worry about it looking like a house. So according to Rav, Rabbi Meir holds of gzeres tikkur. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there is no xeris tikkur. So this Mishnah and the pshat that we apply to the Mishnah works very well according to Rav. We're speaking about your typical standard roof, which Rashi explained would consist of four tefach wide boards. Rabbi Yehuda says, no concern. Rabbi Meir says, yes concern. So bishlam hanichal Rav d'amar machlekes bishyesh ben arba, according to Rav, who maintains that the discussion between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda pertains to four tefach wide boards. The Rabbi Meir is like Xeris Tikkur. He holds of Xeris Tikkur. Don't use them. Rabbi Yehuda less like Xeris Tikkur. He doesn't hold of Xeris Tikkur. So that pshat works very well with our mission. Elul is Shmuel. But according to Shmuel's approach, which was a slightly different approach, he maintained that according to all, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, there is Xeris Tikkur if it's a four tefach wide board. The question was only, to what extent are we concerned? Do we apply xeris tikkur to even a board which is less than four tefach? Meir says yes, Rabbi Yehuda says no. But in concept, all agree that a board which resembles your typical roofing board is a problem. So in our case, a tikkur she'ein lo maziv, which consists of four tefach wide boards, how can you say that according to Rabbi Yehuda it's okay? Elul lishmul d'amar b'she'ein ben arba machlekes. The disagreement between Rabbi Meir and Yehuda pertains only to boards which are less than four tefach wide, which are not typically used as construction material. Aval yesh ben arba d'ibra kol psula, but if they're four tefach wide boards, which closely resemble roofing boards, all agree, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that it's possible, save of my plegi. How do you understand the machlokes in our Mishnah, which is speaking about those very boards? Even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that it's not to be used. Says the Gemara, apparently, we have to reinterpret our Mishnah. All perhaps would agree that initially, you can't use four tefach wide boards for your sukkah. Xeris tikkur. So why is this different? Very different, because you have a pre-existing roof here and you're demolishing it. You're being mevatel that tikkur, which makes it apparent, makes it obvious that you are mindful of the fact that you're not meant to sit in your bayis and sukkahs. Why then would you be breaking up your roof? So this case is very different than the previous Mishnah. Discussion between Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda in this case is where he's being mevatel his tikkur, he's breaking apart his roof. Question is, to what extent does he have to break it apart to remove the gzeiras tikra concern? Mar savar batla b'hachi. Rabbi Yehuda maintains that we take a lenient view, because once he's breaking apart his roof, it's pretty obvious that he knows what he's doing. He's trying to readapt it for sukkah use. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, although b'shamay require replacement, taking out every other plank and replacing it with schach, which really is a serious reconstruction process. But he still maintain, no, the fakpik is enough. Just shaking them up is enough. Because by doing so, he's indicating that he's mindful of the fact they're not meant to use a house for sukkah use. So merely shaking it up addresses everything. Addresses tasav lemin asay, because he's redoing it for tzel. Addresses gzeiras tikra, because he's no longer concerned he's going to sit in his house. We see that he's redoing his roof for sukkah use. That's Rabbi Yehuda. What is Rabbi Meir, who concludes the Mishnah with the words noitel achas mi ben time in a pakpik? He holds, even in this case, when he's being a vatal, he's actively breaking apart his roof for sukkah use, being a fakpik is not enough. You have to actually do something tangible. Umar sava bachi le batal. Simply shuffling, simply shaking is not enough. You have to go ahead and replace every other one with schach, which indeed is a proper reconstruction process. In which case, this roof no longer resembles your typical house roof. And now we've addressed both concerns. Tasav lemin asid, because it's redone for the sake of tzel. Number two, he's not going to sit in the house any longer. If he had to go through his whole trouble to redo the roof for the sake of sukkah, it's pretty clear. He's not meant to sit under the typical standard house roof. Let's go down to Rashi. At the wide line, so it will be the third wide line. Bivitule tikra kolaymar, says Rashi. Let me explain to you the Gemara. Ah, Malach Shmuel lo'ayla m'sheish b'nabo v'lo yhoise kan tikra metchila. Shmuel says like this: if we have four type of white boards and he's building his sukkah anew, there was no pre-existing roof here, v'achshavu b'la sachir b'u l'shem sukkah. And of course, there's a concern. I feel Rabbi Yehuda puzzle. The gazrinim shem tikra, shelo yava v'yeshiv tachas kares beisik. Even Rabbi Yehuda would agree, you can't use wide boards, which might lead him to sit under his house, under those very same type of boards. V'yamer hosei mali ze mali chadasha. What's the difference between an old roof and a new roof? Aval hasht. However, in this case, he is reconstructing his roof. Duzu tikra hosei was a pre-existing ceiling. Ubali de mice, and he's coming to modify it. Lasa l'shem sukkah. V'zeh mechiach she'edea shomra teira ta'asiv l'mina asay. He's pretty much displaying his mindfulness. He knows he can't sit under a house. So now, perhaps we have room to be lenient. Pligi rabbi yudrami. I'ika sula migzeh m'shem tikra eloi. Now I have a question, whether or not we still have a concern. Rabbi the Savar, Bitula Tikra Be Shamay, going to Be Shamay, well Mahmar, yeah. Sarak Litom Ben Time. You have to go replace every other one. Otherwise there is Gzeras Tikra. That's Be Shamay. The Avak of the Mechiach Shabaki Batasal Amin Asi, even though it's pretty clear that he understands what he's doing. Gazriba, it's still concern. Light plug. We apply a Gzera all across the board. Without any exceptions. That's Be Shamay. Ube Silla Savri, no. This is different than initiating your sukkah building process with whiteboards, because here he's demolishing a pre-existing ceiling. It's pretty clear that he knows what he's doing. Given the butler, v'yichiach shatikra psula sula kalamigzer, there's no longer room for gzera. So going to be still, just give them a shake, which is a slight refreshing process. It's a tassel l'shem sukkah, and that's it. Don't worry about the wide planks. Rameh savar loynechalku v'afbo gazrinu. Rameh takes the stringent approach. All along the sugi, we see Rameh is more machrim, exeris tikra, more machrim than Rabbi Yehuda. Therefore, he maintains even when you be mevatel a pre-existing roof, we still have the same concern. So just as you have to address tasav lemin asay by revamping, refreshing, you have to actually replace some planks so that it doesn't even appear doesn't closely resemble your typical house roof, and that alleviates gzeiras tikra. So let's summarize our sugya. Mishnah tells us that a tikra she'ena leha ma'asiva, which Rashi explains, is speaking about a roof that consists of planks at least 4 tefachim wide. We have two shittas in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda presents it as a machlokes between Beis Shammai, who maintain that the only solution is noitel achas min tayim, replace every other plank with tzchach. According to Beis Hillel, either method is effective. Either give them a shake, or replace every other one with tzchach. According to Rabbi Meir, there's no machlokes. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel both agree you have to go replace every other one with tzchach. Now, how do we understand the background? What's the pshat in all these options? We have Rav's approach and Shmuel's approach. Let's start with Rav. Rav learns that there is a fundamental machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir regarding Gzeiras Tikra. So you have 4 tefach wide boards. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there's no Gzeiras Tikra. According to Rabbi Meir, there is a Gzeiras Tikra. So how do you go about fixing up this roof? Because all agree, there is a very basic concern of Tasev Lemin Asir, because it so happens that this roof is a pre-existing roof built for household use, not for sukkah use. So Rabbi Yehuda presents it as a machlekes between B'Shamim and Beis Hillel. B'Shamim maintains there are two issues to address, Tasev Lemin Asir, as well as Gzeiras Tikra, as she does B'Shamim. And therefore they maintain the only effective solution is Noitel Achas Min Tayim, which accomplishes both things simultaneously. It addresses Tasel Min Asir, because now he's refreshed his roof, L'Shem Tzel. Number two, since he's replaced every other board with real schach, it no longer resembles a house roof. And Gzeiras Tikra doesn't apply. Beis Hillel aren't concerned with Gzeiras Tikra. The only thing you have to address is Tasel Min Asir. And by employing any one of these two methods, you've addressed that concern. Either you shake all the boards up, or you replace every other one with tzchach. Rabbi Meir responds by saying, all agree, Gzeiras Tikra is a very real, very, very real concern. And therefore, the only effective method is Noitel Achas Min Tayim, which addresses both concerns at once. Tasev Lemin Asir, by refreshing that roof. And Gzeiras Tikra, by having a roof which really doesn't resemble a typical house roof. So that's Rav's approach. Again, Rav learns there was a basic machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir regarding whether or not Gzeiras Tikra is tikra. Rabbi Yehuda says no, and indeed he follows Beis Hillel, who have no such concern. Rabbi Meir says yes, all agree Gzeiras Tikra is a concern. Then we have Shmuel's approach. Shmuel holds that according to all shittas, there is Gzeiras Tikra. You can't use 4 tefach wide boards, so that can't really be the topic of conversation here. The point is that here it's different than your standard Gzeiras Tikra, because here he isn't really initiating, he isn't really starting anew with boards on a sukkah. Here he has a pre-existing ceiling which he's breaking apart for sukkah use, Bitul Tikra. That's a step down. That has less concern because it's pretty clear he's being mechiach, as Rashi says, that he knows the halacha, he's baki, mitasv lemin asir. So perhaps, there's room to be makel here. And that's the topic of discussion in our Mishnah. So according to Yehuda, we are makel. So according to Beis Shammai, we're machmer, we say both concerns apply, tasev lemin asir and gzeiras tikra, even when it's b'mavatal the tikra. And therefore, you have to the only way to approach it is by minoitel achas min tayim, which addresses both concerns. He redid the ceiling, and he redid it in a way which doesn't resemble a typical tikra. Beis Hillel maintain, in this case where he's being mevatel a tikra, forget about Gzeiras Tikra. It's pretty clear that he's not going to sit in his house. He's not going to confuse things. Look what he's doing to be machshir is his tikra. The only one issue remaining is Tasev Lemin Asir, because practically, this roof was a pre-constructed roof, a house roof. So in order to refresh it and readapt it for sukkah use, you can employ any one of two methods. Either replace every other one, even a fart pig, even giving it a shake is enough. Rabbi Meir maintains There is no machlekes between Rishamim and Mesil. All agree, even in the case of Betulei Tikro, both concerns apply. The basic concern of Tasav Lebenasi, an additional concern of Zeres Tikro, and therefore, the only solution is Noitel Achas Mentayim, by replacing every other plank with real kashrus schach. So by doing so, you refresh your roof l'shem tzel. And number two, it no longer appears like a typical roof, and there's no Xeris Tikra. Continues the Mishnah, HaMakara. HaMakara is like Kaira. We have beams across our ceiling to hold up the material above it. So HaMakara Sukasa B'Shvudin. He took shvudin, rods, metal rods, and he laid them across his sukkah. As eschach. And of course, rods are not kosher for eschach. It's mekabel tumah. Another example is, Ayvaruch HaSamita. He took the long posts from the side of his bed and used it as eschach. And again, it's a kli, it's mekabel tumah. It's not kosher. Im yesh revach beinein kemoisan kshira. If the revach, the space between the rods, between the posts, the gap equals the actual size of the post itself. Say the post is 2 tefachim wide, and likewise the gap between the two posts. And of course he filled it with tzach kasher, so now it's 50-50 ksheira. The sukkah is kasher. Hachaitet begodesh lasis l'sukkah, ain't a sukkah. If one decides to hollow out his pile of bundles, his haystack, so he pulls out from within, leaving the top layer intact, untouched, ain't a sukkah, because it's not a man-made tzach. It's tasa v'lo mina asu. So Mishnah tells us that if it's 50-50, 50% tzach kosher, 50% tzach pasul, you're okay. Lema to have it yifta. To Rav Huna, pray the Rishua, perhaps going to be a kasha on this shita. The Itmar, as we learned in Maseches Erevin, regarding hilchos mechitza, parutz goimit. What if the piritza amount of your wall equals the standing portion? So if you have a wall which is mostly standing and partially breached, it's okay because roiv is standing. It's an effective mechitza. On the other hand, if it's mostly gapped, mostly breached, and only a small portion is oimed, mechitza is ineffective. What if it's half and half? Parutz, the breached part, is ka'oimed, equal to the standing part. Is mechitza still considered a mechitza or not? Rav Papa Amar Mutter, it's a proper mechitza. For Rav Huna, Breid Rishua Amar Asa. Mechitza now is bottle. Rav Papa views the oimed as the most important part of the mechitza. He says, look, I'm standing. Unless you have more than I do, unless you arrive, in which case you overwhelm me and you mevatel me, I still remain firmly in place. I stand my ground. And I still serve as a mechitza. Rav Huna holds, we look at the enclosed area, the space within the mechitza, which you are trying to enclose. Now, think about it. This makim was wide open. It was an unenclosed area until you came around with your mechitza. So in order to transform that makim from an open, breached, unenclosed area into an enclosed area, you have to enclose most of it. In which case you say, okay, the roiv is closed. The area is now gadar, is enclosed, is partitioned and divided. Until you get to that point, you haven't really done anything. Therefore, says Rav Huna, Breder Vishua, if it's 50-50, it's only 50% enclosed, 50% not. Paritz ka'imid. You don't have sufficient building material, sufficient mechitza, to enclose the area. So until it's mostly enclosed, you don't have a right, don't have a power to consider that makim as a makim mukav, as an enclosed area. So this is a general machlokes regarding mechitzas. The Gemara assumes that the same concept would apply to sukkah. So how could the Mishnah say, if the schach on your sukkah is half good and half not, it's considered a kosher. That works according to Rav Papa, but not according to Rav Huna Bidi Bishua. And the Rishonim ask, why according to Rav Papa would this be acceptable? We learn later in the Chaf Beit Amar Beis, at least according to Rashi's Pshat, that if you have your sukkah only 50% covered, so it's 50% covered with schach kosher, and the other half is wide open, open space. Sukkah is puzzle. So you see, 50% is not sufficient. Why would it be different here? Half kosher, half puzzle would be good according to Rav Papa. What's the difference? Says the Rosh, there's a big difference. 50% schach kasher is okay. It's considered a shade provider. A meitzel, yisuk is a shady area. As long as it's 50%, it's okay. Over there, we're speaking that the other half is uncovered, in which case the sun will come in and light up the whole sukkah. That's just the way it is. The rays spread out and disperse throughout the area. So if it's only 50% covered, the sun which enters the other uncovered portion will create a situation where it's mostly sunny in your sukkah. That's a problem. However, in our case, where it's not wide open, it's fully covered with tzchach. Problem is, half of it is not tzchach kosher. That's okay. Because half tzchach kosher is adequate. Paritz ko'emet is mutter. And you don't have any sun coming in to be mevatel that tzchach. Why? It's blocked out. The other half is fully covered. Therefore, says the Rosh in this case, according to Rav Papa at least, it's okay. 50% is considered. It's considered adequate mechitza, adequate tzchach. But in any case, we have a kasha on Rav Huna, Breda Rav Yishua, who maintains that generally speaking, 50% is not enough. You need mostly tzchach kasha. Amalach Rav Huna, Breda Rav Yishua, he's going to respond and say, we're not speaking about half and half. There's more tzchach kasha and tzchach posel in our Mishnah. My Kim Moisan. And the Mishnah says, the space between the tzchach posel is equal to the tzchach posel, but nechnas v'yoytze. It means that there's enough space to allow for entering and taking out that tzchach, putting it in and out, which requires a little bit of a breathing space. So it's a little bit more the gap than actual tzchach posel. So since it's 51% tzchach kasher, you fill up the entire space with tzchach kasher, and only 49% of tzchach posel, so it's roif kasher, it's okay. It's more of Efshel Tzamtzim. What makes you think that was more kosher than Pasul? Perhaps he did it exactly. The gap between the Schach Pasul was exactly the same amount as Schach Pasul. Rav Ami B'Madif. No, we're speaking that he purposely added more Schach kosher than Schach Pasul. Let's go over to Rashi on top. Efshel Tzamtzim. Because Sanka Daita, the more figures at this point, the high, the Kamataritz, B'nichas V'yaitz, Yachamataritz. When the Gemara says that there's more space between because it's nichas v'yoytze, the Gemara meant, we assume so. Kol k'moysa b'nichas v'yoytze, u'stam hu b'nichas v'yoytze. Dein derech l'tzamtzim l'chavim k'moysa mamish. Typically, we assume there's more space than the actual beam, which is possible. It's not the derech to be matzamtzim. L'ipachas v'yoytze. We figure that he leaves enough room so he can put the schach in and out with ease. U'brachinam. On that, the Gemara asks, how do you know? Maybe typically that happens, but perhaps this time he was careful to do it exactly 50-50. He pays attention. So maybe this time he happened to be very meticulous. It's exactly 50-50. So the space between the boards, between the poles, between the rods were exactly equal to the rods themselves, in which case the schach kasher is only 50%. I'm not speaking that he was mitzamtzim. I'm a madif. Revach ben time al rochav ashpudim. He purposely added more space. In which case, there's more schach kosher and schach posel. Continues the Gemara. Rava amar afilu teima b'she'in madif. You know what? He could be speaking even, he's not leaving more gap than schach posel. It's exactly 50-50. So how do we address our question? Very simple. Im hayu nesunim shasi, nois non erev. Erev nois non shasi. Let's go over to Rashi. Rava Amar, afilu mitzamtzim. Even if the space and the sach posel is exactly the same. Im hayu nesunim ashvudim shasi. If the shvudim were placed in one direction, shasi, which means horizontal, so it's placed this way, let's say, nois non lekonim shal sach erev. He's going to have to place the schach kasher in the other direction, right? Because we have schach posel, a rod, then some space. Another rod, more space. Another rod, more space, and so on. And he's going to want to fill the gaps with schach kasher, right? How does he do that? He can't just hang schach kasher mid-air. He needs some support. Evidently, says Rava, he's going to place it in the opposite direction. So Let's say the Yitzchak Pasul is going east-west. Yitzchak Kosh is going to have to go north-south and lean itself, support itself on the Yitzchak Pasul. Right? So inevitably, says Rav, you're going to have more Yitzchak Kosh and Yitzchak Pasul. Yitzchak Kosh has to cover the gap plus a bit on either side, so that it lies on the rods for support. So at the end of the day, you have more Yitzchak Kosh and Yitzchak Pasul. Says Rav, so even if the gaps between the rods are the same in volume as the rods themselves, but once he finishes, when he finishes his job, he's finishing placing the Yitzchak Kosh on those gaps, and the Yitzchak Kosh has to be supported by the Yitzchak Pasul on either side, inevitably the Yitzchak Kosh will have to extend beyond the gap a bit on either side to allow it to lie on the Yitzchak Pasul. End of the day, you have more Yitzchak Kosh and Yitzchak Pasul. The Al-Kachar says, Rashi, im ein noisin Rashi, hakanam al shvudim, unless he supports the hakanam on the shvudim, the Yitzchak Kosh on Yitzchak Pasul, hurry enough on the earth, get up on the floor. That's the case. In the final analysis, he's going to have more Yitzchak Kosh and Yitzchak Pasul on his sukkah and mevatel it. Ask the Mefarshim, what do you mean mevatel? Mevatel is when it's mixed up, unnoticeable. Here it's two separate entities. You have Yitzchak Kosh sitting on Yitzchak Pasul. Why would it be mevatel? Says the Kabbalah Nesanel, Rashi doesn't mean bit of beroiv like your typical taroivus. He means that the Yitzchak Pasul is being used as a support for the Yitzchak Kosh. And that's what makes it batel, makes it insignificant. It's not there for its own sake. It's there to help out the Yitzchak Kosh. That's what Rashi meant. If in the final tally of things you have more kosher than pasul on your sukkah, then the schach is considered schach kosher. That's the primary ingredient here in your schach arrangement. In which case, the schach pasul, which is the portion of schach pasul, which is merely supporting the schach kosher, is not bottled to the schach kosher. He's serving the roif. Right? The schach kosher now takes over. He's the determining factor. And anything that's coming to help him is bottled to him, is subordinate to him, is tafel to him, is not reckoned with. And that's what the Mishnah says, the Gemara. Even according to the Shita, we need more than 50-50, you have more than 50-50. And therefore, the Schach is kosher. So, conclusion, we had a kash from our Mishnah. We seem to say that 50-50 is okay. So, according to Rav Papa, that's fine. According to the other Shita, how do we work it out? Two roots, either he purposely placed more than kosher than pasul, because the spaces between the pasul were greater than the pasul themselves. Or according to Rava, since they were placed in opposite directions, inevitably you have more kosher than pasul. So what are two examples of schach pasul? We have shvudin, metal rods, or yibarucha yishamit, the bedposts. Says the Gemara, it's a broken bed, why can't it be used for schach? Lema mesayel Rabbi Ami bar Tuv Yumi. Perhaps it's a right to that shita. The Amar Rabbi Ami bar Tuv Yumi. Sicha bevloi kelim psula. Even if he used worn out kelim, more later we'll speak about worn out garments, which are no longer suitable, it's still possible. Why? Let's go down to Rashi here. Seven lines from the bottom. Bevloi kelim. They come in mafarish matlonius. These patches she'ein ba'in sholish al sholish, which are too small in size to be mekabel tumah, less than 3x3 etzbos. The afik of the hashtag mekabel tumah, even though currently they don't have tumah capacity, even the mekli also, since they originated from mekli, gods were rabbanon. Rabbanon said, don't use it because you might actually use kelim. Aruchos nami, regarding our bed posts as well. So there are aruchos and ktzores. We have a bed which has a sort of a head post with two legs, and it has the bottom, at the leg side, it has a post, a short post with two legs, and has a ruches, these long posts on the side, which consists, these four posts consists of the, make up the frame of your bed. So the ruches, the long posts, nami, hashta lemekabla tumah, they're no longer mekabla tumah, lechaz lemidi, they're broken kelim, ele meklikas, rather since they originated, they come from a kli, and the rabbanon, we keep away from all these materials. So is that so? Our Mishnah, which disallows aruches amita for schach, Is it a right to that shita? It doesn't allow even worn out broken begadim, because you might actually use the begad itself or the kli itself. Says Gemara, not necessarily. Perhaps here it's different, because here we're speaking about a chelik of that bed which has significance and is still mekabel tumah. So although it's only a part of a bed, but it has a prominent chelik of that bed, which makes it consider it like a chelik, like a bed itself. Because the Amr Rav Chanan Amar Rebbe, just as Rav Chanan Amar Rebbe tells us regarding a different concept, we're going to see that Bez Hashem tomorrow. Baruch Hoshtei Karayim, that we're speaking about the long post, along the side of the bed, the long post, which has Shtei Karayim, two legs still attached, in which case is still considered a bed, and still Mekabel Tumah. Or Biktsaro Shtei Karayim, or the short post, with two legs attached. Hachanam here is on the Mishnah, perhaps that's what we're speaking about. Baruch Hoshtei Karayim, the long post with two legs attached. Biktsaro Shtei Karayim, or the short post, with two legs intact. In which case, it's less significance, and it is enough of a bed to be Mekabel Tumah as is. Okay, let's briefly recap today's daf. Can one use his roof, his house roof, for sukkah use? Rashi says we're speaking about a tikra which has no tit and can perhaps be easily reshuffled and remodified for sukkah use. Speaking about boards which are at least 4 tefach wide. So you have Rabbi Yehuda, who presents it as a machlokes bin Yisham and Bishil, and Rabbi Meir says all agree that there's only one method, one solution. According to Rav's approach, the machlokes bin Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir is whether there's gzeres tikra. Rabbi Yehuda says, I follow Bishil, there's no gzeres tikra. And therefore the only concern is tasav lebin asi. Just give it a shake or replace every other one. According to Rabbi Meir, aside from tasav lebin asi, there's gzeres tikra. The only solution is replace every other one and redo that roof in a way that doesn't appear like a house roof. According to Shmuel, typically, you can initiate your sukkah with wide boards. According to all shittas, gzeres tikra. Here, he's mevatel a pre-existing roof, which perhaps has more leniency, and indeed according to Yehuda. Beis Hillel maintain, don't worry about gzeres tikra in this case, because this fellow is mindful of the halacha of tasav lebin asi. He knows he's not meant to sit in this house. Look, he's breaking apart his roof for that purpose. And therefore, the only thing you have to do is either a shake or replace the other one. What Rav Meir, Gzeres Tikra applies in this case as well. And therefore, the only solution is replacing every other one. The Mishnah tells us half and half, Schach Kosher, Schach Pasul is acceptable. According to Rav Papa, that works. According to Rav Huna Rishua, apparently we're speaking where he added more Schach Kosher over the Schach Pasul. We had a shita that Beloi Kalim are unsuitable for Schach. And regarding our Arucha Isamita, the Gemara says, well, perhaps we're speaking that it has a significant portion of its bed intact, and has a post with two legs, in which case, it certainly is considered a kli, it cannot be used for schach. Kol tov to you and atzlacha rabba.